Okay, good morning. We continue with the story of Pilegesh Begiva. And yesterday we covered a lot of ground, and we went and finished Perek Yud Tes. Before we begin Perek Chaf, we were in the middle of a Malbim yesterday. And let's just finish off that Malbim. We gave out the sheet, and we're looking at this Malbim. There was a discussion as to why Hashem did not destroy the city of Giva himself like he destroyed Sodom, Sodom, where we noted so many similarities in the story of the immorality that went on. And the basic answer that the Malbim said is that in Sodom it was a legalized reality, as opposed to Giva was an issue of pure lust, which we're not saying that's a wonderful thing, but there's a far cry between when you legalize things and then there's no hope of ever having any tshuva for things that you feel are legal, as opposed to doing things that you know are immoral and you're acting immorally, then it's not as bad. And we gave a few the Bible is in the middle of giving examples as to, from the text, how we could see that it was more of a moral issue than an issue of it being the law. So, and the first difference was that by Sodom, Lot brought the angels in secretly, because it was against the law to do this, while the older man who brought in this Levite and his Pilegesh and the lad, he did it openly, because he didn't have to be afraid. There wasn't any law against being hospitable to people. So we're now on the letter Beis. So if you're following along in the text, it's smack in the middle of the page. Smack in the middle of the page is a base and a little parenthesis going in the opposite direction. It's about a dozen lines or so from the top. Okay, if we have that, it's from the top. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 lines from the top. The sixth word, base. Shum. In the story of Sodom, Kosov Anshe Ha'ir, Anshe Sodom, Nosabu Al Habayis, Minar Vatzakein. Over there it says, in Sodom it says, they surrounded Al Habayis, upon the house, from the youth until the older ones. Now, what do you have from that? V'hoyezeh koyla l'chol Anshe Ha'ir. They included everybody from the city. Why? Because these were the people of Sodom. And taking in guests was against their law. So it's the whole city went to the door to break it down. But here, what does it say? The people of the city, the people who are belial, without a yoke, meaning to say, Ratzalomar b'nei belial asher ba'ir. It's people who are belial, v'asav sufa sher b'kirba, hisavu taiva, whatever, there must be a typo over here. But he's referring to them, it's the b'nei belial. So b'nei belial, those are the lowlife, people who don't have good morals. So that's who's described. Not the whole city came, it was the b'nei belial, people without the fear of the yoke of heaven over them. That's not because there were laws. There are people who don't have good personalities. Okay, so therefore, and they're going against the law, really. I mean, they understood the law is you can't rape people and can't sodomize. Well, they knew that was the law, but they couldn't control themselves. Okay, so the people who are blial, without a yoke, those are the kinds of people who do those kinds of things. Okay, so that's a second difference. Gimel, a third difference, this is a very subtle difference. It says, Shom Ksiv Nasabu Al Habayis. They surrounded Al Habayis, upon the Bayis. Shiratzu Lucham Al Bal Habayis, Shavar Al Chagim. They want to fight against the master of the house who went against the laws. Upo Ksiv Nasabu Es Habayis. Here it says they surrounded the house, not upon the house, but the house. Meaning to say, Lishmor Bal Yivrach Orech, to make sure the guest doesn't leave. Loshen nasabu al habayis l'chom. They didn't surround the house. Upon the house. The word is in al and s. Al means they surrounded upon the house because they wanted to fight. That was in Sodom, but not over here. V'lachein lo ratzu bebito. Therefore, they didn't want his daughter. Ki lo ratzu lasos ra la hazaken. When the offer was made for the daughter, they didn't want the daughter. They didn't want to get the old guy. They didn't want anything bad to the old guy. It wasn't like the old guy broke the law, and now they want to punish the old guy like it was by stone, where they wanted to punish Lot for breaking the law. So they weren't coming upon the house. No, they just wanted to, they were watching the house, that the guests wouldn't leave, because then their Yetzer Hara wanted to sodomize him. And therefore also, L'chein k'siv mistapkim al adelas b'bini hispael. It says mistapkim, which means to knock, but it's a hispael, reflexive verb going back on themselves, which means to say, shemar ala pa'ula hameduma kamo misasher misroshes. It's like an action that appears to be, but it's not. Meaning to say, the real meaning of the words mistapkim doesn't mean they knocked on the door over here, but shunirim kidovkim. It made it look like they were knocking, but they really lo dovkim, which they really weren't knocking. They weren't going by way of war. They went to break down the door. That's a big difference. And also over there, became Sham Sagar Lotus Adela Sakharov. Over there, when Lot went to speak to the rabble rousers, he went outside and closed the door behind him. Kiyorim was afraid of them. He kind of guarded the door. Lot came po, not over here, Amar Vayotzelem. He brought out Yetzim, he went out to them, finished. He didn't try to stop them. He wasn't afraid that they're going to break through. Kiyado Shaloya Isul comes basically. They knew they would have the chutzpah going to the house. All different examples. One more, Dalit. Shamar Lahem Shehi Nevala. He said to them, why do you want to do this? This is a Nevala. This is a despicable act. Now, how can you say it's a despicable act if that would be the law? Right? Harei Shehi Yisichlam Shalom Lahakash Shehi Nevala. Everybody understood this was a disgusting thing. The people who are into their drives and can't control their passions, they know what they're doing is wrong. Lo kein Lot, not by Lot. Lo hisker rak hatayna rishona. What was Lot's argument against those people? He just says, bal yiral shabal aveso, don't do anything bad because he came into my house. You'd be offending me. He didn't contend that what they were going to do was a bad thing, because over there the law was you could do such a thing. Lomer lahem shein aval, he didn't say it's a disgusting thing. Ki yes sam tover tov roi lefim shtim, because according to them it was a good thing. So now that explains the differences between Sodom and here, and that's why Hashem didn't punish them directly. Now the last part of the Malbim does address one sticky issue. How did these guys offer their daughter and their Pilegesh to these guys? He says, go take my daughter, go take the Pilegesh. Right, so that was the old man's offer, if you recall. That was back in Pasuk Chav Dalet. The old man says, take my daughter, she's a virgin, take this guy's Pilegesh, and go have fun with them. But don't do a disgusting thing with the man here. So the Malbim explains in Chav Dalet, and Zine Biti, here's my daughter. Ratzoloimer, Lamalos Tavaschem, you want to fulfill your lusts? Go take my daughter and go take the Pilegesh. Even though it's a disgusting thing too, but here's the point. But the shame they will go through won't be as bad as the shame the man will go through. That's what it says. Shenis, when he says the second thing. But to the man, don't do such a thing. I guess, neither one is a pleasant thing, but to sodomize a man is a greater embarrassment to the man than to rape a woman. That's what the Malbim says, because that's like so much more unusual. It's not good to the woman either, okay? But if you're rating what's a worse disgusting thing, that's worse. Now, Malbim's talking about it from a sensitivity perspective. But there are other commentaries who mention that from a practical perspective, in other words, the situation like this. The old man knows, and it's a very difficult moral question, but the old man knows he ain't going to stop them. Because remember, he's an old man. Part of the issue being an old man is, how are you going to fight against a bunch of Hell's Angels bikers? You know what I'm saying? So, let's say 10, 15 guys surround the house. Okay, you can't call the police. There's no police. Can't call Hatzalah. It's only 911. So what do we got here? We got an old man, a weary traveler, and his lad and his pilegish. Okay, and they're probably surrounded by a big chunk of guys. So you think you're going to be able to stop them? So, well, we'll do the chivalrous thing. We'll just fight against them. You fight against them, they'll probably kill you. Right? You got to know, what are your options? What are your practical options? You're going to try to stop them. They're going to kill you. It's probably they would kill them. So it doesn't help anybody if everybody gets killed. Right? That's for sure not a good thing. Okay. So they want to sodomize this guy. Okay. Well, sodomizing a guy comes with a punishment of, in the Torah's eyes, sodomy is a capital offense. It's a capital offense. Now, so they were trying to minimize the, and now, okay, so if they sodomize him, everybody else lives. That's another option. The third option is, instead of doing such a terrible aveira, his daughter, it's not a punishable death. It's not a good thing. Again, we're not suggesting any of these is an initial thing to do. But now you have to pick what's the least bad of all the options available. Resisting, they'll probably all get killed. And the Torah says you're supposed to live. If they sodomize the man, then that's a capital offense. That's the worst aver that can be done. If they give the daughter, it's immorality. It doesn't come with a death penalty. Again, it's not good. But it doesn't come with a death penalty. The Pilegesh, according to certain opinions, wasn't really a wife, per se, a legal wife. It also doesn't come with a death penalty. So since the Oman is trying to minimize the amount of the crime that was happening, so he made this offer to, okay, let's just, listen, they're coming, they're Balei Taiva, they're lustful people. Okay, at least it's more, they're gonna do something bad anyway. So let it be of a less avera nature. Now, I know it's a hard thing for people to accept because, you know, in the world of chivalry, you do things even though you're going to die. You know, the old chivalrous, I'm going to stop them. They'll kill me. It's better they should kill me. But at least I've not been dishonored and this and that. It's all narishkeit. You have to live in the practical realm of v'chai b'hem. You have to live in this world. And you don't say, well, I'd rather die. No, if you have a mitzvah to live, you have a mitzvah to live. Even though you're under very uncomfortable situations, and there weren't a lot of other options. So if you look at it in terms of a pragmatic point of view, and you have to ask yourself, what is the Ratzon of Hashem? It's a very interesting, before you do anything, you say, what is God's will? Okay, these really terrible guys, right? So first the guy tried to dissuade them. First says, you shouldn't do this. You know, obviously, so that didn't work. Right, so they're not, you can't reason with them. Okay, so you're going to say, well, we'll fight them to the finish. Well, fight them to the finish, it means you're going to die. Well, does God want you to die? So you could say, well, yeah, for the three cardinal sins, you're supposed to die. All right, but, you know, it is immorality. But there's different levels of immorality. So certain levels of immorality, you have to give up yourself to die. Other levels, not. So, obviously, God does not want you to die. So that doesn't become an option. Okay, now the question is, what can you do not to die? Well, he sodomizes these guys, so that's something that you really cannot allow to happen, and you have to die for that. Okay, but if they say, listen, the whole issue is taiva, let them fulfill their lusts on a single girl. Let them fulfill their lusts on a pilegish who's not halachically married to the guy. Okay, that already, you don't have to kill yourself for that. And in spite of the fact that, you know, it's not good, and they didn't think they were going to kill They didn't think the end was going to be they're going to kill the Pilegesh. So, you know, so they figure, listen, of all the options, this is the best, the lesser of all three evils. So they chose to do that one. Again, you know, women do not like that option. Women listening to this are going to say, that's not fair. Okay, you know, sometimes it works fair. That the woman is the one on the short end of the stick. Sometimes the man's on the short end of the stick. There's different halachas, but the guy at least had his wits with him to at least come up with the best solution possible. And you learn from this that, you know, not all the time are the options great, and sometimes you have to pick up options that are not pleasant. But you have to figure always what is what God wants more than less. So, but that didn't work out. They refused that. That group didn't want, didn't, when it says in Chafei v'lo avu, so what did they not? They didn't want, they knew the old guy, so they didn't want to hurt the old guy. And therefore, and they saw that was going to happen, so then the master of the Pilegesh just tossed the Pilegesh at them. He figured, listen, you know what? They'll take it. Believe me, they'll take it. Let them fulfill their pleasures and finish. And we'll be finished with that. It'll be one bad night, and we'll live, and we'll go on, and life will continue. Okay, he wasn't counting on the fact that she would ultimately die because of it. Now again, it's still very difficult, and we don't suggest we have all the answers to this story, but you obviously see that the guy did not have a strong connection to his Pilegesh. Obviously you see he didn't have a strong Pilegesh. Now if you learn, for example, according to some of the commentaries, right, remember what happened, they got into a fight, right, and we said that there was issues of holiness that weren't taken care of, and then there were issues of immorality, especially if you learn that she was Mizana. If you learn that Pilegesh is not a married wife per se, but rather someone just to, you know, someone you take in to take care of your physical pleasures, right? And if Shitaka was Mizana already, and if she was, had enough, you know, left the home and fooled around with other guys. So the guy didn't have such a strong connection with her. Didn't have such a strong connection. He didn't really care. Obviously, the guy is not a tzaddik. We're not trying to justify that he's a tzaddik and he's a wonderful guy. But at least from the older man's perspective, trying to see, listen, the older man was a guy who brought in guests. He must have been a good guy. So he was trying to figure out what's the way to minimize it. I'm trying to justify the older guy's perspective. And we don't know. We don't know what the older guy would have done if they wouldn't agree. Because right away, the husband just tosses the Pilegesh out. So you don't know what the older guy would have finally have done. Clearly, the husband of the Pilegesh was not a great guy. And he wasn't even involved in trying to stop. He just tosses the Pilegesh out. And then, can you imagine if it's your Pilegesh, at least you'd be concerned. You'd be looking out the window. When is she coming back? When they dump her back, at least you'll try to help her recover. No, you just go to sleep as if nothing happened. Have a good night's sleep. Finish your party. I'm going to sleep. I'll see her sometime in the morning. You know it's a cold night in Teves. At least when she comes back, be for her. So obviously there was not any strong relationship going on over here. So the guy by no means a tzaddik, and we're not trying to justify his behaviors. Okay, that's the end of Perek Yutes. Move on to Perek Chof. So now he has sent, and again, I mean, what do you normally do to such a woman? You bury her, at least. Said he chops her up into pieces and sends them to every tribe. I mean, that's not exactly a wonderful thing either. But the shock effect that he wanted was accomplished. Because the people, as we said, was that this, such things like this never happened. So now, listen carefully to what happens in the next chapter. And aside from how interesting it is what happens, but at the end of the chapter we'll bring out an idea which really give us an understanding of why this whole story has to be mentioned. Pasuk Chaf. Vayetzu kol b'nei Yisrael. And all the Jewish people were told about this. Every tribe. So every one of the Jews went out. Vatikohela eda ke'ish echad l'midon vad ber sheva ve'eretz agila de la shemba mitzvah. They gathered all together as one congregation from the northern extreme of Dan to the southern extreme of Beersheba, and to the eastern side of Eretz HaGilad, the land of Gilad. El Hashem HaMitzvah to Hashem in Mitzvah. So we see that this really did tick everybody off. And the whole Jewish people are united. Now the Malbim explains what is the necessity for the Navi to go to such length to describe how they are united. So he says like this. He explains that if we were discussing a regular Jewish halachic issue that is based on the Torah, and we're dealing with a specific case, then if you really look at it, are these people of Giva chayiv misa? Are they worthy of the death penalty? The fact they raped a woman. Okay, so you look in the Torah. If you rape a single woman, you know, the Torah says you're not given the death penalty. That's not the death penalty. There are many punitive measures that are handed down, but death penalty isn't one of them. Number one, either we make the guy marry her, or there's a heavy, stiff fine, imposed. Again, not that it's a wonderful thing, but it doesn't carry a death penalty with them. And therefore, you know, especially if you say that the Pilegish wasn't totally married wife, so it didn't carry a death penalty. So, and even let's say it was his wife, to carry a death penalty, it's a few technical things you need, such as witnesses, warnings, things like this, which didn't happen either. So no matter what, and certainly they didn't plan on killing her. She was weak. It was cold. So, you know, what do you call the legal term? Not first degree murder, probably like third degree. Manslaughter. Okay, does manslaughter get the death penalty in Canada? No, doesn't get it in Yiddishkeit either. Okay, so we're not dealing with a death penalty. So the question is, but they seem to want to avenge this in a very strong way. And we're going to see, they're going to want the perpetrators handed over. And they're going to want to punish them in a very strong way beyond what the letter of the law is. So here's the point. What bothered the Jewish people the most, it seems that, you know, let's be honest. I mean, again, if this is in the very, very early stages, the Jews weren't so far gone themselves. They weren't heavily into idol worship. But we'll see. We don't know exactly when this happened. But one thing, let's say even there was, and many say this was after the Pesel Micha. So listen, if you want to do Averus in the privacy of your own house is one thing. But to do such thing in a public way, it's like you're knocking on the door. This was a publicly done thing. That's a big difference. So if such an event happened publicly and nobody's going to make a stand about it, then that will destroy any sense of morality in the entire country. And somebody like that, you know, we judge them as a kofer, as a heretic. You know, it's one thing to be a Baal Taiva, one thing to be a lustful person, but at least be a little discreet about it. But if you're doing it so publicly, that's a very big affront. And there are many people who were gathered to do this terrible thing, and they didn't think twice about it. So therefore, all the people felt it was like the status of an Ir HaNidachas. You know, an Ir HaNidachas is if a whole city worships idol worship, the law is, if it's true, you wipe out the whole city and burn it to the ground. So, so they really felt this was such an affront, it needed, as we would call, emergency measures. Ahora Shah. So for emergency measures, you know, in other words, we had to go beyond what it says in the Torah. And if you want to go, you know, and the halacha is, if a court feels that, you know, even though the law is not to give such a strong punishment, but they feel, you know, people are taking things not seriously, and we got to take emergency measures. The Torah does allow for that, but that can't be done, you know, in a private court. That has to be done either by a king who has such power, or when all the Jewish people with the Sanhedrin get together, and they stand instead of there being a king, and they can act as if there was a king. And obviously here was a great Chil Hashem, a desecration of Hashem that happened. So that's why it says, Vayetzu kol b'nei Yisrael, Fatiko Helaita. They all got together as an entire congregation. So once you have an entire congregation with the elders and the Sanhedrin, so now with that we can exact emergency measures. So that's an important thing. Keep that, file that away, because we're going to draw from that in a couple days back to this point. Now, where did they gather? So it says they gathered El Hashem HaMitzvah, to Hashem in Mitzvah. Now, where's Mitzvah coming all of a sudden from? So the Radak explains that whenever the Jews get together, or most of them get together, you have a lot of Jewish people here, you'll see, you have like hundreds of thousands of Jews. Whenever a lot of Jews together, the Shekhinah dwells there. That's what it says. Whenever there's a real Jewish court, the Shekhinah dwells there. So they said, they came to Hashem in Mitzvah. Meaning to say, it wasn't so much it was Mitzvah, but when the whole group gets together, that's the presence of Hashem comes there. Or you could add, we learned in Sefer Yeshua, Mitzvah was a place that built a Mizbeach. It was a place they made into a house of worship. And that's where Jews got together at times when necessary. And why did they do it at Mitzvah? Because early on in Sefer Yeshua, there was an amazing battle that happened there. And the Jews were very victorious. and many of the non-Jews gathered against the Jews in Mitzvah. It was a place where great miracles happened, where the Jews won a battle. So the Jews always held it to be a holy place. So now if they have to get together someplace near Binyamin, Mitzvah is probably a very close place. So they gathered over there, and hopefully they'd be inspired by what past history showed of Hashem helping them. So they want to get together before they make a decision and get together in Mitzvah. Beis. Pasuk Beis. Vayisyatzvu pinos kol ha'am kol shivtei Yisrael bikal amu Elohim. So the people gathered together, and the word pinos, what is pinos? Most of the commentaries say it, the leaders. Even the leaders came for this. The pinos, the leaders were there. Malbim explains, they gathered together as like they were in the camps of in the desert. They gathered together just like this tribe was up to the north, and this to the south, this to the west, to the east. They gathered together as if they were in their encampments, which would tend to suggest that was when they left Egypt. So it's symbolic of saying, listen, we left Egypt to leave such an immoral lifestyle. So therefore, you know, we're gathering together as when we left Egypt again, because, and this is, a repudiation of Binyamin, who acted so immoral. This is the way they acted in Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim. We don't want this over here in the land over here. And also when you gather together as you encamp, that shows a lot of unity. It shows a lot of unity. And it says that they, all the tribes together, Bikahal, what's it? It says Bikahal, Am Ha'elokim, the nation of Hashem. So that's why they gathered. In other words, it was for God's honor. It's a disgrace for God. So they're sticking up for God's honor. How many people get together? Look at this number. Arba Meos Elef Ish, 400,000 people. Ragle Shole Ish, Ragle Shole Cheref, infantrymen who bear arms. It's an amazing show of strength of what came. 400,000 men, soldiers. So they're obviously, they mean business and they're getting together. So today's Rosh Chodesh, we have to stop early today. So Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow we'll continue and see what decisions they make and what happens. Okay, have a good day. Short one today.